This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Racer consultants are standing by. We'll take caller 9-844-999-OLA, and you'll play Profiled in minutes. And we do have your headlines on the way 1 hour from now. First, quick check-in to Mike Hawk for some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
All right, a construction company in New York just rolled out new inclusive signs that say, quote, men and women at work.
Well, that changes everything.
That's right. One step closer.
It's going to be a hell of a reunion tour now.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did somebody even bitch about it, or just something they did?
Kind of what I'm wondering.
I don't know, but they did.
I don't know.
You could just say people at work. Whatever.
Sure, I guess.
I think it's just, it's just to let you know, don't run over people.
Right. That's why the signs are there. Like, we're at work here, but we don't put up a sign, but you're probably not going to drive a vehicle over, so.
Right.
Because before they changed it, you could drive over women. Everybody was cool with that. But now they know. Try not to drive over anybody.
The Ohio State Legislature passed a bill requiring students to learn cursive. It's the return of cursive.
Oh, man.
Do they still teach it?
Apparently not. I think they started
teach it
kind
at
of,
all?
I think they started kind of cycling it out.
I mean, it might depend on the school. There might be
like, do your
some
kids learn it?
Side, but not yet. But my oldest is in second grade. I learned it in third grade. But if they do, good for them. I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with learning new ways to write. And in the end, every time they write down words, you're actually comprehending more. But cursive itself, other than your signature, which for the most part is illegible no matter who signs it, I just don't know where it matters.
I don't get it either. I get sentence structure. I get, you know, all those things.
I think you said it perfectly. It's cool if they learn it. It's not a bad thing if they don't.
Do you still remember semaphore?
Say what?
Is that the stuff for babies?
You still remember how to do semaphore?
I don't know what that is.
He was a lifeguard. Pool lifeguard.
Oh.
Yeah, semaphore.
Well,
pool.
You know, I didn't need
it's
to learn
traditionally
to do
learned, actually.
At it, the pool, why wouldn't you just yell, hey, man, he's drowning?
Do you know why? Do you know why that started out? It started out as a form of communication for forest rangers for fire service.
Ah, okay.
So they would stand on top of a tower, and they would do flags.
To do with pools.
So when you signed, well, lifeguards on the beach use them to communicate as well.
Right.
So then
long
it kind of
distance.
Expanded onto
but
that.
But he was at a pool.
Well, you wouldn't need to know that, but he was a Boy Scout, so it was one of those things you learned a Boy
Eagle Scout.
And he was an Eagle Scout. So
yeah, he completed the mission.
What you sign is opposite of what they read. So you have to know how to sign the opposite of what you're seeing. So it's kind of more complicated than you think.
I believe it's complicated. We're to say Mike is, say, Apollo 11. You were Apollo 13. You were supposed to land on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't.
No, I sent him a semaphore sign and told him I couldn't make it.
Very true.
I'm imagining,
as Apollo 11 said, the Eagle has landed.
I'm imagining
Eagle Scout.
Yeah. One poor, I could call Mike Eagle Scout. I'm imagining one poor lifeguard just sitting at a small pool signaling stuff to himself.
And like, no running. Just talk to me.
Right? No running. A woman died from a brain-eating amoeba that she got using a neti pot.
This story freaked me out so bad, and it's not really the neti pot itself. I think, one, they say, like, boil the water before you put it in. Either way, she used tap water, and they think that she didn't rinse it out from the last time she used it, so the water is just sitting at the very bottom of the neti pot.
Yeah.
Remember
either
that
way,
when you use your water pick.
Brain-eating amoebas, kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Why don't they eat your brain? Like, why is there, like, no disease? Like, it gives you an erection and makes you more attractive to the opposite sex. It's always like, oh, no, it eats your brain.
It's also funny, too. You're just like, what an evil creature. Why would it eat a brain? And then it's like, you imagine being a shark or a crab and watching us eat other crabs.
That has to be horrifying.
It's
got to
be a violent. And then they're smashing your little arms and stuff.
They boil you. They rip off your arms. They suck out the meat. Then they rip your chest open and eat what's left.
I had a huge-ass crow do it 2 nights ago on top of my skylight in my place.
Ah, gross.
Were you jealous?
Dragged a big old Dungeness crab up there, man, and he is just smacking that thing against the window. I'm like, I thought somebody was trying to bang in my door. I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on because it's dark outside.
Why didn't they target your house? It always seems like
because I think I'm close to the canal and they realize they can drop it off the top and those crab remains on the driveway.
All right.
So they just bust them.
A study ranked every state from the best place for drivers to the worst.
I would think the best would be like anywhere there's not a lot of people. Wyoming.
Precisely. Yeah. North Dakota.
All right. That would be the best day.
I mean, a lot of open roads.
There's ice on the roads.
Where's the worst drivers?
Jersey.
L.A.?
Ted, you're close enough. California.
California.
I mean, some of that, too. I agree. Like, just L.A., there's just so many people.
Yes. But I think they might be better skilled drivers.
They're better skilled, but can you be better skilled if your top speed's 30 miles an hour everywhere you go?
Right. Yeah, their skill is how to weave in and out of traffic without banging into one another.
That is a skill.
NASA got the first ever audio recording from Mars.
Nice.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ring-dong.
Says it just kind of sounds like a low-pitched rumbling.
Yeah, it was the wind
on Mars. What else are you
going
to hear?
Actually, I heard it just said something like, the Falcons blew a lead?
Oh.
It's 28-3, right?
Mm-hmm. That took a minute to get out there.
The they
first,
even heard
the
that on Mars.
The first sound for Mars.
Ooh.
The Patriots choked. They should have run the ball.
Hey, you keep that one out of there. They missed that transition, that transmission, Mr. Man.
All right, sorry.
Damn it. Let's stick with the Falcons, all right? We'll burn the Falcons.
Should have handed it to
you. Don't have to. They can do that on their own. A town called, I'm going to say it's Uranus, Missouri.
All
right.
They do say Uranus because we're not making this up. There is, honest to God,
Uranus, Missouri.
Well, there's a fudge factory there.
Oh, you're kidding.
No,
Uranus Fudge Factory. They sent us fudge.
We've sent them beer. They sent us some t-shirts. They sent us, it's delicious. And yes, they know what they're doing, but it's worked in their favor. And it's like fudge from Uranus or Uranus Fudge Factory. Honest to God, Mike. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know the name of their newspaper?
Yes, this is what the story is about. Uranus, Missouri launched a newspaper in September called the Uranus Examiner.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, it's the Examiner.
Go for it, man. I mean,
a lot of Examiners, Times, all kinds.
Your town is already named Uranus.
How about this, Uranus? The Uranus Times.
Yeah.
I mean, does that sound any better to you?
Unfortunately.
Ooh, if I'm a billionaire, I am buying the Cleveland Browns and moving them to Uranus.
It's gone out of business after five issues.
Oh, they tried to start a paper?
Yeah, a couple months ago.
Okay.
Damn.
You can get a copy of this show on cassette. Send your stamp mark post office envelope to
Pueblo, Colorado.
The men's room. No. 34%
I'm not a business guy. I just think trying to print a paper right now might be the wrong thing.
If only someone had told us.
34% of us do the bulk of our Christmas shopping in late November or early December, according to a recent poll.
Well, yeah, that would be about the time to do it.
19% wait until 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas.
Hello.
1% wait until Christmas Eve.
Hello.
I used to do that.
Another 1% wait until after Christmas to buy their gifts so they can get better deals.
I've heard that before.
I mean, as long as everybody's on board, that's pretty intelligent if you don't have a lot of money.
I had friends down the street when I was a little, 4th, 5th grade, whatever, and their parents gave them each $200 every Christmas. And then on December 26th or 7th, they took them to the store to buy whatever the hell they wanted.
Yeah, I mean, I've done it. I remember back in the day when you had to go to the mall pre-Amazon, the internet.
Right.
I've been in a mall on Christmas Eve. I mean, it was insanity.
And it is sparse.
But I like
Black Friday's bad.
Now, you think Black Friday's bad. Black Friday does not reek of desperation. Black Friday's just an event. Christmas Eve at a mall, and everyone there is as desperate as you are. Right. It can get tense.
You can just avoid the first few morning hours for Black Friday, and you'll end up kind of okay. Christmas Eve is a madhouse all day long.
Mm-hmm. I always had a good tradition, too. Me and my brother would do it close to Christmas Eve, like the 23rd. We would just go out and slam beers and then go buy some gifts.
A man in Florida had a job interview at Kohl's last week. Then he shoplifted 2 pairs of shoes and was arrested for retail theft. What do you know? He didn't get the job.
Kohl's. Yeah, they frown on that at most businesses.
Kohl's is actually fairly affordable. I don't know how expensive these shoes are.
It's a decent place.
Yeah.
Well, he needed a job, so it explains it.
A mother-to-be canceled her upcoming baby shower because of her baby's name. I'll test your memory 1 hour from now.
Thank you, Mike Hawk. Headlines are coming up 1 hour from now.
First, the game is...
The Men's Room presents... Profile This.
And Steve Throwhill, can you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Jerry. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hey, hola.
Hola. All right, Jerry, you understand how this here game is played?
I do.
All right, fantastic. I'm going to share with you a story that I stole right from Mike Hawk's Future News. In this case, we go to Youngstown, Ohio, where a woman faces charges after throwing an infant twice during a fight with her sister over purchases made on Amazon. That's right. She threw a baby twice while arguing with her sister about purchases. Now, the Youngstown Police Department say they were called to a home around 9 o'clock on Saturday morning for reports of a fight. When officers arrived on the scene, they found a woman holding a baby. That woman was the kid's grandmother, who was now holding the kid for safety reasons. But apparently, an argument had occurred between the woman's two daughters. Police say the 32-year-old woman was holding an infant during the argument, and when she got frustrated, she threw the child onto the couch. She then picked up the baby and threw it a second time, which is fun to do when the kids are in on it and they laugh about it. Not a good idea when you're actually angry. Now, police told the local news that she rambled on about how she was blamed for everything and that she's suffering from postpartum depression, etc., etc. Whatever the case, she's been charged with child endangerment, and the infant was transported to a local hospital. Information on the kid's condition is unknown at this time, but I believe the kid's going to make a full recovery because at least it was a couch. My question is, this woman that threw her own infant into the couch twice while arguing, do you believe she is black, white, Mexi, or Asian?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Eliminate Asian immediately. This is Youngstown, Ohio.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah, I have too. Let's see.
Unless you were from there, no reason to make new roots there.
I don't think anybody there is not from there.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you don't leave. You trust me. That's a town where you're from there, and that's about the way it goes.
I hear you there.
So I would also eliminate. I would also eliminate Mexican because of that too.
Yeah, I started to say I'm torn between white and black.
In Youngstown, Ohio, I would just say black.
Well, since how half the time you're wrong.
That would mean half the time he's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's true, too.
All right, Jerry, we need a final answer.
Let's go with black.
Black final answer. All right, we're going to find out if this mom was black, white, Mexican, or Asian next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Profile this takes us to Youngstown, Ohio. We have a Ohio woman who's charged for throwing her baby not once, but twice. She was arguing with her sister during a fight over Amazon purchases.
Yes.
The argument got heated. She threw the baby one time into a couch and then picked the baby up, threw the baby another time. Apparently, the grandmother steps in when the cops get there, and she has been charged with child neglect, child abuse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Grandparents always doting over kids. The question we have for you, Jerry, did you believe this woman was black, white, Mexi, or Asian? Now, you and Miles are somewhat familiar with Youngstown. You eliminated Asian and Mexi instantly and said black or white. Ted said, hey, man, what I know of Youngstown, I would just go black. And in the end, I don't know if it's because of Ted, whatever, you went black.
I did.
And you said that Ted is normally 50% wrong.
Exactly.
Which would also mean 50% right. So on a side note, you got a real negative attitude, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Real negative.
I want to bring it up. Glass is always half empty.
Yeah, always half. Doesn't want to enjoy the half full liquid. It's got to be empty. But, Jerry, as it turns out, even with your negative attitude, you are correct.
Now for all TV news all the time, it is time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box,
Armageddon.
The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
They just didn't get it out. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. Just kind of
lack of enthusiasm today.
Yeah. Let's see. So CNN has an awards show, right?
So I did not know that.
I did not.
They do.
About?
It's called the Heroes Award, Miles, and everybody knows what it's about, so.
It's about heroes.
Oh, just about Thank heroes. You. So, like, if someone sandwiches. Does something nice, they give them an award at the
end. No, the sandwiches. Like, someone could buy.
Oh, that would be great.
This year, Cold Cut won.
Okay.
Everybody was shocked. They thought it was going to be cheesesteak, Philly cheesesteak. It wasn't. It was Cold Cut.
I'd go Hot Italian Grinder.
Cold Cut would get, like, the Lifetime Achievement Award.
It would.
You know, without question.
I like a Hot Italian in general.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manja.
Yeah. Let me see that.
I like it the spicy.
Oh.
I like her mustache.
Give me the spicy loins in your
She's
mustache.
She's got three of them.
Call me Luigi.
Hey.
Luigi seemed like he would have gone dirtier.
Oh, than Mario?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. They call him Luigi the Squeegee.
So Kelly Ripa's hosting, and of course she's there with the host of her co-host of
Ryan
the show.
Seacrest.
Thank you, Miles.
The biggest name in radio. But,
correct.
Don't worry,
the
no
guy
one knows
in terrestrial
guy.
Radio who probably makes more money than anybody combined.
So they were hosting. Will Ferrell just kind of showed up out of nowhere and crashed the party.
Welcome to CNN Heroes, an all-star tribute.
It's so great to be back hosting.
Thank
with
you so
tonight.
Much for doing this. We really love to have you with
my
us.
My favorite
it's been
thing
great.
To do.
Thank
every
you.
Year.
So great to be back, isn't it?
Yes.
Like 5 years us hosting together, right, Kathy?
Yeah, no, I yeah, right. No,
so great
yeah.
to be with both of you.
No, we you don't even yeah. we got it from here.
What? Contractually it's right. just Kelly and me.
Just tonight.
You're actually just presenting.
Oh, like, I'm just presenting.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Did your,
okay.
your agent didn't tell you that?
No, I was told host.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I may be in the wrong event, actually. But does this mean I'm a CNN hero? Because I well, did teach George Clooney how to read last year.
Really?
Yes.
How to read?
Yeah, how to read to a fourth grade level.
And, really? Clooney is?
Wow. Encyclopedia Brown.
Wow.
And comic books.
Wow.
So,
how does Amal put up with that?
Who's that?
Next.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Will Ferrell being Will Ferrell.
Right.
But it always makes me kind of giggle.
It's just so weird and off-kilter.
Oh, he's got a new movie coming out, so I think we're going to be seeing a little bit of him around.
Oh, the Sherlock Holmes movie, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like it's been a minute since we've gotten, like, and that's the way it goes. Like, there's Will Ferrell movies we were getting hit with all the time, right? Then there's Adam Sandler.
Right.
Then I want to say there was kind of like Amy Poehler and
Tina Fey,
right? Then there was Amy Schumer, so now it's like, all right, Will Ferrell, you can get back into making movies.
And who was the other one?
Not that he stopped making movies.
McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy, right.
Yeah.
It's like they come in droves, right. Then they kind of go away.
It just seems to be the way it works. Like, you get a project, and then they just keep putting you in them.
I mean,
unless you're The Rock, and then just whatever the sequel is, he
just
gets
raise
that.
An eyebrow, and
he's getting
sushi.
That job.
But, see, but he's that guy. And in fact, we were talking to a couple of co-workers earlier, and we got there mid-conversation, but our boy Sean was saying, you know what, man?
Marshawn,
right. Marshawn says, when you and they used to do this in the '80s with Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis, and all this. He said, like, if you go to what Redbox or anywhere, to it should just be like, oh God, rock movies. Like, instead of because he said anyone that he knows that goes to see a movie with The Rock in it, assuming it's not with your kids, he said they never say the name of the movie. They just say, I'm going to see the new Rock movie. And he's like, once people say that, you should have your own category.
Yeah, that's a great point, too, right?
I mean, honestly, like, Will Ferrell, it didn't matter what movie he was going to be in. There was a point where all of us were just going to see the new Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah, 100%. I still like a lot of his movies. Some of the underrated ones, too. Excuse me. All right. Alex Trebek. We know a ton about him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of him as a mean person or whatever, but this one...
I don't think of him as a nice person, but not necessarily mean.
This one's kind of a serious diss he throws on this guy.
Oh, boy.
Nick Loracle is a graduate student from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Nick, when my son was in college, he did a lot of work in the gym, weightlifting. You are a competitive strongman and a power lifter, and yet... You don't appear to have the big, solid build that my son had at that time.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of muscle I can gain right now, but it takes time, and I'm willing to put in the effort.
All right. Good luck.
Watch it. It's up. Put it up on the Men's Room Facebook page. It's as awkward their interaction as it sounds.
Does he say good luck, with the look on his face that says, I don't believe it's going to happen?
Yeah, it legit looks like he's like... Like, you're not a power lifter. I don't know why you put that
on
your collar.
He's lucky that a guy doesn't see him in a bar and just beat his ass.
But Alex Trebek is that kind of guy. Years ago, I'm watching one, and, you know, he does the thing, Ted, what do you do for a living? It's like, oh, well, I'm an emergency room nurse. And then in Alex's mind, instead of just making light conversation like you're supposed to, he came up with some horrible scenario, like, so what would you do then? There's a gunshot victim bleeding out of their neck. And, like, you're watching, it's like, Jesus Christ, man. You know, the woman's like, I would just ask for one of the doctors.
Yeah. So when you see blood splurting out of them, right? Like,
they're making their last gasp. You know they're going to die, but you have to tell the family. What do you say?
Right. And the guy's defense, and he looks pretty fit.
Right.
And to be a power lifter, you don't have to be a giant. I mean, he looks like he's wearing like a sweater, so it's hard to tell. But I just seem bold to be like, well, my son did it, and you
my
did not.
My son did steroids and got real big, and you have to pertain by a set of rules. Yeah. Back to The Rock again. Like, the reason The Rock can look huge all the time is because there's no one coming in there and going, Rock, hey, pee in a cup. They haven't done that since the University of Miami.
Yeah, but you don't need to. Like, for movies.
We know.
Right.
Yeah,
it's make-believe,
but
of course.
But his son's in college. Like, he's probably just on the juice.
This one's show business because it involves Jennifer Aniston. All right.
Okay.
In a new issue of Elle magazine, this is kind of odd. She says that both of her marriages to Brad Pitt and Justin Theroux, who is not in charge of Canada. I messed that up on Kimmel one night. I was like, you got to be kidding me, having the PM of Canada on there? And then he brought him out with all the Canada stuff and was like, how many times has it happened? He goes, yeah, people always think that's me.
And I'm not as attractive as it might be.
She said, both of these marriages ended in divorce, but she says they were not failures. My marriages, they've been very successful, in my personal opinion. And when it came time to an end, it was a choice because both of us had to choose to be happy, and sometimes happiness didn't exist with that arrangement anymore.
Well, so back to the half full.
Yeah, but
I hear you. You
have two divorces. You can't sit there and say, now you could say, because I believe this. I think a lot of people, you could take positive out of a failed relationship.
No question.
Like, maybe you learned to recycle. Maybe you learned to cook a little better. I never recycled to my first girlfriend.
I learned to recycle.
You never recycled to your first girlfriend?
I'll never forget her for that. Thank you, baby.
I just wouldn't separate it. You didn't have to at the time. So all right, whatever. Right, so I mean, there's like little things like that. Right, but I can't say they were successful relationships because they all ended.
Right, in divorce. Look, your relationship, whatever, well, even if you're fine with it, that's okay. It's just this, if divorce is the end of your marriage, then you would not call the marriage successful. Because technically you lost.
Right.
There's two losers. So no one really, well, that's not true. People win.
I don't know when, but either way, like, it's the marriage. Either way, look, maybe
it's just,
a person.
It's just
might,
about the English language. Like, you can't do that. I'm sorry. Right? Like, you can't sit there and say, like, they both ended in divorce. You don't get to walk around going, oh, my marriages were super successful.
I successfully climbed Mount Everest. Did you? Never even been.
Right? But I went on a training hike.
And I thought about it.
It's all base camp.
Right?
And I'm not bitter that I didn't make the top, so therefore, successful.
I had somebody ask me to conquer a mountain this summer with them, and I said, no. I'll go on a training hike with you, though.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, we have to train to go up on a real big hike. I mean, like, you have to hike.
I know you, I'm just saying, like, you got the wrong guy.
You want to go there
down
bonk
down.
Yeah.
Let's see. You know what? This time of year, you can have decoration wins. You can have decoration losses. And some are just going to be decoration disasters.
So now I thought I'd share some of my favorite decoration disaster stories from you guys. This first one's from Caleb Draven. She says, my mom bought an artificial tree at a thrift store, and when we put it up, the top half was missing. We decorated it anyway and called it the Christmas bush. Who wants to put the star in the Christmas bush?
That's optimistic.
This one's from @TurryX0X0. She says, my parents thought it was festive to put a light-up Santa and Mrs. Claus in the yard, but I was petrified thinking two old people were haunting our house.
That's empty.
This one's from @MWaddles98. She says, my dad hid our elf in the shelf in the chandelier and half of his face melted off.
Hey, Dad, have you seen Oh, my goodness!
This one's from @ChrissyBumblebee. She says, my grandma got drunk and accidentally knocked down the tree, then blamed it on reverberations from the snowballs kids are throwing outside. This one's from @BrainlessSkip. It says, one year my dad put up a life-size nativity scene on the front lawn. One morning he found a drunk guy sleeping in the hay under the baby Jesus.
Oh. Okay.
This last one's from @Herman's Horns. He says, when I first met my in-laws, I wore an ugly Christmas sweater to make myself seem more fun. I didn't realize the reindeer on the sweater were getting it on. Set the bar real low. There you have it. Those are Tonight Show hashtag.
And that is the problem, like, anymore, people don't actually own ugly Christmas sweaters. You can just buy sweaters that are just ready to party already. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, people started calling them ugly Christmas sweaters, but as long as Christmas sweaters have been around, they've been pretty ugly.
Christmas ties are ugly.
You know,
sweaters in general are ugly.
Sweaters in general, I think the difference is back, it was like a it was funny because people really started wearing sweaters. So then it was like, hey, you go to a Christmas party, you got to put on a sweater. But I'm saying now they're all designed already to just be like to be worn at a party.
Yeah, you're right. Because like we don't expect you to well, before I say that, there are a few people here and there when you go to different businesses. When you see them in a sweater, you're thinking, ha ha, they're being ironic, right? But then you can just tell by the way the person is.
Like, you're like, oh, you really wore that.
Do not comment on this. This person legitimately is in the Christmas
sweater. It's like
spirit,
a clip-on tie.
Right. Like, don't say, like, okay. Castle has an ugly Christmas sweater, and he knows for a fact it's an ugly Christmas sweater.
He bought it for the irony.
That's why he wears it. There's other people, they wear it, and I'm like, don't say anything to them. This is a Christmas sweater.
I bought my mom the loudest one possible.
She loved it, didn't
she? And she did. Right. And then the next time I talk to my brother, I go, oh, you're going to love Christmas. Sounds like Santa is in the house every time she walks around.
Okay, let me ask you.
Oh, it has jingles on it?
It's lined. The whole thing is lined with jingle bells.
We have coming up our annual holiday party. And we're going to have a Festivus Maximus. I think it's probably about a few days away? I can't remember. Either way.
I don't know.
They're having an ugly Christmas sweater contest.
Correct.
Now, do you own a sweater?
Yeah, I own a couple sweaters.
Do you own a Christmas sweater?
I do.
You do? So you have, is it ugly?
Yeah, it's designed to look ugly, but it just got the University of Maryland logos on it.
Mike Hawk, do you have a Christmas sweater?
No, he doesn't have it.
That's surprising. Do you have a Christmas sweater?
I don't have a sweater. I have a onesie.
Okay, so you can't get
full body Christmas spirit.
Do you have a Christmas sweater?
What do you think?
I think I'm asking because I don't know.
No.
All right, I don't have one. You're our only hope. I'm the only person in here who actually owns a sweater.
Yeah.
Go for it, man.
Yeah, you got to.
You're going to enter the contest.
Dude, it's up to you. You're our only hope.
I don't know.
Oh, come now.
You're your only hope.
Well, what defines the ugly? Is it the color combo, the design?
It's just the scheme. It's supposed to look like an ugly one. But, you got, probably not Miles, you might think it looks cool. Is it just, it's the color scheme of Maryland.
See, that's
so it's
the
got,
problem.
Like, the Maryland M in there. And then, so it looks like an ugly sweater, but it looks cool if you're a Maryland fan.
Right.
It's like, I've seen, like, Miller Lite ones, right? That are just,
you're like, awesome.
It's designed to look kind of, like, that's what I'm saying. That's the difference now. It's like, the irony is kind of gone from it because they're purposely making ugly Christmas sweaters.
But are they purposely making them ugly, or are they just making more
Christmas sweaters?
You know what I mean? Honestly, like, if you go back to the 70s or 60s, you look at family photos, right? It's a Christmas picture, and these sweaters were not designed specifically to be ugly, but they are equally as ugly as the ones they do. Like, to me, you don't have to go out of your way to make an ugly Christmas sweater. Just make a Christmas sweater. Done and done, man.
Like, my buddy James has one that just says Yippee-ki-yay.
Oh, MF. Okay. Well,
so I'm just saying, like,
that's a little different.
Right, like, that is made with the purpose of like, you're wearing it to a fun party or something, right?
Yes,
like,
that one is.
That's not just a random sweater. Tara Reid. We all love Tara Reid, of course.
How can you not?
She has filed a $100 million lawsuit over Sharknado slot machines that use her likeness without her permission.
Well, fair. Well, it depends. From an outside looking in, she's right. Technically, you can't do that. But I'm willing to guess that when she signed her contract for Sharknado, it's one of those, hey, if this goofiness takes off, which it did, you know, all of this. Look, they're using her image, but as we know, and we know this with this show, right? Just the idea that, but if it's related to Sharknado, and that's the contract you signed, it's your character, it's not you, it's a different kind of thing you're fighting for.
It just seems odd to me that she's the only one filing this lawsuit. Like, if you used it
and
didn't ask Sharknado, I'm sure Sharknado, the franchise, would have said, hey,
right,
you need to pay us some money.
Right.
Or maybe Ian Ziering's like, what is going on? But yeah, right. So that's
Ian.
Is it Ian?
I think so.
Yeah, I think he makes a big deal out of it, too.
Hey, look, he's lucky I don't call him Steve. Sorry.
Steve.
Either way, I just like the idea of Tara Reid having a $100 million lawsuit.
How
I like
fast
the idea
you think
of Tara Reid worrying about any publicity. Be like, oh my God, I'm on a pinball machine. I'm on a slot machine. Thank God, people remember me.
I'm back.
Yeah.
Because how does that work then if you see her in People magazine? They don't necessarily reprint her picture with permission, and it's typically not a great picture for her.
It's like her in a bikini, and it looks like her whole stomach has just been, like, torn open.
And they're pointing back that part out.
Like they stuffed her intestines back in.
Yeah. Jeez. And you forget, in American Pie movie, she was, like, the hottest chick.
She was then.
I remember when she was walking around Baltimore for a while, she dated this horrible freaking quarterback for the Ravens named Kyle Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyle Bowler and her were an item. So you'd see, like, them walking around at
various
and he
places.
He was as good of a quarterback as she is an actress.
I mean, yeah, both of them fit for kings.
Thank you, Ted. We appreciate it. All right, Mike's got your headlines coming up here in just a few minutes. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. FDA warns everyone and wants everyone to know that almond and coconut milk does not come from cows.
What?
Meanwhile, ex-Miss Kentucky is charged as a 15-year-old boy she was trying to arouse. Mom-to-be cancels baby shower after family makes fun of son's name. Ohio woman charged after throwing toddlers twice in what was not a fun game. And Ohio State University restocks a bacon vending machine 5 times a day. It is time for your headline.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's my car.
All right, our top story, we go to the internet, where a mother-to-be ended up canceling her baby shower because the guests that were invited were making fun of her baby's name. She said that she was going to reschedule the party for a select group of people to attend and shamed the uninvited guests for mocking her unborn baby's name, Squire Sebastian Senator.
But as Miles explained earlier, it's not that they're mocking the kid's name, it's that Squire Sebastian Senator is entirely the kid's first name, and she insists that there's no nicknames, you must call him that. And so keep in mind, they're not mocking the name, they're mocking you as the mother for insisting that everyone call him
for ruining
Squire
kid's
Sebastian
life.
Not S3 triple S, no, you, but like, yeah, they're going to mock you, dummy.
She actually said, quote, "This is the name I was meant to give him. This is how it will be, and he will not be allowed to have a nickname. He is to be called by his full and complete first name. This name conveys power. It conveys wealth. It conveys success." She added, "My baby's name will be a revolution. It will push people question everything.
His name represents that mom's an idiot."
Yeah, that guy's getting a vasectomy.
Yeah.
Look, man, I'm in this. I got to win it, but I got a kid now, and this can't happen again based on her.
And the reason why he has both Squire and Senator in his name kind of alludes to the fact that she actually has Squires and Senators in her lineage. So it has nothing to do with, you know, her own personal pride.
Dumbass.
In other news, I feel like I need another category in headlines called Stupid Lawsuits. A class action lawsuit has been filed against Blue Diamond from people that don't like that they were duped into believing that almond milk and coconut milk came from cows.
How were they duped into believing that?
And not alternatives that are in the name. I don't know. My only guess, here is the only thing that I could possibly say, okay, you've got a point. Does chocolate milk come from chocolate?
Chocolate, yes.
Yeah, it's made from chocolate.
From chocolate.
Chocolate in there makes the chocolate milk.
But keep in mind, chocolate is the adjective. The milk is the product.
Exactly.
Okay, so almond milk.
Is almond milk just milk with almond added to it, or is it from almonds?
If that's their argument, it's still weak, but I would say okay.
That's the only thing I can see.
It is from the teats of almonds.
Right. And arguably, chocolate and strawberry milk are the only two actual from a cow milk products that we alter and put on the shelves.
True, but then
everything
again,
else is coconut milk, almond milk, cashew milk, soy milk, everything else.
Oat milk
is an imitation product.
Would you like some Thrill milk?
And here's something I'm going to just knock everybody's heads off right here. They know it's not imitation.
Maybe they should do like a K-Rabby. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's not crab. They should just call it mulk.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Almond mulk.
Right.
Ew.
Almond Mike. How about that? Would you take it?
I would. I'd be down.
Okay.
Let's go to Ohio 4.
It's time for another case of bad parenting.
Yes. We did talk about this earlier today. Police were called to a residence after reports of fighting within the home. Apparently, there were two sisters fighting inside the house, one complaining that she was blamed for everything. It didn't get bad until one of the two threw a baby twice during the argument. She was arrested for child endangerment.
Now, they're not blaming you for that. It's you threw the kid.
How old is the woman?
The 32. Woman.
32.
32 years old. Okay,
I got to ask. You have a kid. You're 32 years old. How are you still in a residence with your sister and mother?
It's tough out there, man.
Yeah. I mean, honest to God.
It's tough out there for a crazy woman.
The first thing I'd do is be get away from my mother and my sister if I could.
Yes.
I love them both very much.
Yeah, but aren't you glad that she's there for reaction to anger? Yeah.
Correct.
Because the grandmother stepped in to protect the kid.
Yeah, thank God for that.
Thank God.
No, because a roommate would.
We stay in Ohio, where OSU students are completely depleting the contents of one of their new vending machines. No joke, a bacon vending machine.
What do they expect? It's a bacon machine.
Correct. It looks like what they have in there is a lot of those boxes of the pre-cooked bacon.
Yeah.
Which is great, because you basically, if you're a student, if you have a microwave or whatever, you can just go and bam.
Exactly.
Bacon.
So, shocker, people are...
They
eating
like bacon.
All the bacon.
Well, keep in mind, if I put the vending machine, that you know how glad I am to refill it five times a day?
Yes.
You know the pre-cooked bacon that you're talking about that they're buying here?
Yeah.
I bought some for a recipe, and then I didn't need it all, but then I found myself one day just
chewing on
just
it. Yeah. It's good for a while, actually. It's good for like 2 or 3 months.
Proceeds from the machine go towards the campus's meat science program. They're actually the ones that put the machine out there, which I didn't know that meat science was a thing, but it is. They're currently having to restock the machine 4 to 5 times a day.
You'd be surprised the agriculture going on there in Ohio. It's farmland. It's I mean, it's all FFA stuff.
I want to call whoever's refilling their machine 5 times a day and wonder if they need a job.
I'll show up here.
Please.
Hey, yeah, you might not notice this. People like Sprite.
What do you know?
Yeah, and Monster Energy drinks.
That's right.
And Cheetos.
We go to Miles' homeland of West Virginia, where former Miss Kentucky...
Hey, will you let somebody get the Gordettos? I don't eat it, but I hear it a lot out there. You can't get them out!
It is locked in, man. Anyway, Miles' homeland of West Virginia. Former Miss Kentucky that became a teacher has been arrested and charged with 4 felony counts of distributing obscene matter to a minor. Turns out that while she was teaching, she got a little too attached to one of her 15-year-old students and started sending nude photos to him on Snapchat, which is against the rules.
I know it's against the rules.
Right? With that, Mike Hawk is out.
Thank you, Mike. We really appreciate it. We'll see you next time for the Drunken Charge. Ryan Castle into Sit and Spin. We'll drink a toast with a shot of the day in Men's Room Rules.
There you go. Sign up with a pen. But in the meantime, we be all about this match. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.